record again. So, we have now to talk about those devices which are employed for making sound level measurement. And those are called the sound level meter, in italiano fonometro. What is a sound level meter? A sound level meter is an object with the shape more or less of a bottle, with a microphone at the top where the bottle has the cap, and you keep this in your hand, as shown here. They are small. During the next lesson I will bring a couple of them in the classroom. Today they were not available because we are using them for some making some measurements, so they are out today. But next Friday I will bring you the object to show you how is a sound level meter. This object is widely employed, so many people own a sound level meter. The cheap one are really cheap, because you can buy a good digital sound level meter on eBay for 30 to 40 euros. And they work quite well, I must say, given the price. I warmly suggest to every one of you to buy one of those for 30 euros. In this course you don't spend 1 euro for the books, so use the 30 or 40 euros you usually spend on books for any other course to buy such a sound level meter. It's very useful because it transforms sound in numbers. It gives you the number. And it is important to be accustomed to the value in decibel. If not, you don't have the real perception of how loud is 80 decibel and how loud is 40 decibel. Okay? So, having a sound level meter by hand can be really practical. Now we will try to emulate a sound level meter with a software for giving you the same information on this computer. But first I explain you the theory, then we use the sound level meter. So a sound level meter has a microphone with sense pressure. The pressure is RMS evaluated or averaged, so what you usually measure is an average sound pressure level with some averaging time. You see the formula for computing the RMS pressure, and this formula contains averaging or measuring time T. The instrument can be set to work with different integration or measurement time, short or fast, and long or slow, or infinite. In infinite integration time, this is an open integral which starts in the moment you begin the measurement and it runs until you stop. Okay? This is the concept of the equivalent level, which we will see in a moment. But before seeing the concept of equivalent level, let me explain what is inside this object made in the shape of a bottle. Of course there is the microphone, so we start with the electrical signal coming out from the microphone. The microphone is a pressure detector, so typically the sensitivity of a microphone is expressed with a number which, for example, can be 50 millivolt per Pascal. This is the sensitivity of your microphone. It gives you a voltage proportional to acoustical pressure, millivolt Pascal. 50 is a typical value for a microphone equipping a sound level meter. This means that when the sound has an acoustical pressure of 1 Pascal, it will provide an electrical signal of 50 millivolts. Okay? How loud is a sound level of 1 Pascal? If in the formula of the decibel, which is this one, PRMS is equal to 1 Pascal, which is our unit of acoustical pressure, Okay? So the acoustical pressure is 1 Pascal. You write 1 here. Here you write 20 micro. That is 20 multiplied by 10 raised to minus 6. And you make the computation with your Handel calculator, the result is a famous number which every acoustician knows, which is 94. 94 decibel is 1 Pascal. Okay? How can you check that your microphone is working correctly, providing the electrical signal with its nominal sensitivity? What you use is a calibrator. What you use is a calibrator, which is just a reference sound source, is like a plug, which is inserted here over the microphone, is a cylindrical plug containing the reference sound source, so you fit this calibrator over the microphone. The calibrator creates a signal of 94 decibel, that is 1 Pascal, 1 kHz. So you insert the calibrator over the microphone and you check that here, in this point, there are 50 millivolts per Pascal. And the display of the sound level meter should show you 94. In this example here, the system was slightly imperfect because the microphone did age. Year after year after year, the microphone loses sensitivity, and instead of displaying 94, the system is displaying 93.7. It has lost 0.3 decibel, which is still intolerance, because the measurement standard allow for a maximum deviation of 0.5 decibel. So this microphone can still be used. When inserting the calibrator, the value displayed is below 93.5, then the microphone is out of spec and must be replaced. Usually in most sound level meter, the microphone is screwed. You can unscrew the microphone and mount a new one. Now, if a cheap sound level meter can cost 35 euros, a professional measurement grade microphone costs more than 1,000 euros, just the microphone. All the instruments can be 4,000 or 5,000 euros, so it can be a quite expensive instrument. Between these two ranges, the 35 euro instrument and the 5,000 euro instrument, there is a world of very different instruments with different features. This is just a plain sound level meter which only provides you with one number, the sound level in decibel. This one is a spectrum analyzer. I don't know if you see here on the display, there is this sort of chart. This chart is the spectrum of the sound. So these instruments make real-time spectrum analysis of the sound. Of course, this sound level meter is much more expensive than this one. It's obvious. There are sound level meters which contain a digital recorder. They have a micro SD or SD card inside, and everything is recorded as a WAV file. So when you come back to home, you can listen to everything, because it did actually record everything. Not just means work. Also, this is an expensive feature. So, if you add all of this feature, you can easily exceed the 5,000 euro limit. And of course, for making very accurate measurement, everything must be very precise, and having electronic equipment with high precision is also expensive. It's not cheap consumer electronics. This is high-grade instrumentation, certified and stable, and every 2 years you need to send back the instrument to a lab to be rechecked, and if it is out of spec, it must be either repaired or replaced. So there is a complex history around the sound level meter. When the instrument has to be employed for measurement, which has legal consequence, and the legal consequence in acoustics can be hidden, you can make a complex factory to close if the factory exceeds the noise limits. So a large factory with 1,000 workers can be closed from now for months for exceeding the sound level. You must be very careful before taking such an action that your measurement was really correct, of course, because you can have consequences worth millions of euros as a result of an acoustical measurement. This is another of the reasons for which acoustics is so important and acousticians are so well paid, because your work affects the work of companies of production seat and the life of thousands of workers. So you cannot have the short arm when buying such instrument. Now you are a student, a 35 euro instrument is perfectly okay for a student training himself about acoustics. But when you will be a professional, please spend the whole 5,000 euros, and if a 10,000 euros instrument becomes available, it is worth usually to buy it. Using it for a couple of months usually pays for the instrument. The work of an acoustician sees so much money flowing in and out that those costs of the instruments are really not a problem. In other field, you buy equipment and it takes years to pay for the equipment you buy. For example, an excavator. If you have a building company and you buy a new excavator, it takes typically 5 years to pay for the new excavator you have bought. Okay? Those electronic devices pay themselves in 3 months, typically. Always less than 1 year. This is a fiscal problem, because for the Italian law, you should dilute the cost of buying equipment over 5 years, which in many fields is perfectly sensible. For an acoustician, it's crazy. An acoustician can buy a new instrument every year if he wants. Also a personal computer, we usually change it every year. There is no reason for not having the best of the best. You want always to have the best of the best. It pays itself. You cannot stay with a system which is not the top grade you can have. Okay? This is one reason for which these instruments are so expensive. Because there is a market ready to pay for expensive instruments. It is a very profitable market to build sound level meters, actually. Okay? Well, going what is inside, looking at what is inside, there is the microphone. We have seen his sensitivity, how we can check the sensitivity, fitting a calibrator and checking that the value is close to 94 decibels. Second point, there is a preamplifier. The preamplifier usually is employed just as a variable scale system. Typically a sound level meter has a measurement range of 80 decibels. Our hearing system has a much wider hearing range, up to 140 decibels. So we need to move our measurement range over the whole scale for covering the acoustical climate in which you are working. If you are in a mechanical factory where the level is very loud, you need to set your instrument for measuring loud level. And if you are instead making measurement at home during night for sleep disturbance, then the sound level will be very, very small, and you set a lower scale, changing the setting of the preamplifier. I must tell you that in the last 4 or 5 years, on the market, some wide range instruments appeared, we don't have any more these changeable or variable preamplifier, because we have now instruments with a measurement range close to 140 decibels. So there is no need anymore to change the measurement scale. But these, of course, are very expensive. Most instruments are still equipped with a variable gain preamplifier. There is an overload detector, because if the sound exceeds the range, the values shown on the display are wrong. So this overload detector marks with a flag, with a red light typically, when the sound level is too loud or too small, because there is overrange and underrange. In both cases the reading is wrong and the instruments warn you with this overload detector. Then there are the weighting networks, and today the only weighting network which is used most of the time, as we have seen in previous hour, is the awaiting networks. Some instruments can also load band filter. What is a band filter? It's a filter which has unit gain in a certain range around the center frequency, and then they cut off lower frequency and higher frequency. A band filter allows for making a band frequency analysis, which is a topic which we will see during the next lesson. For the sound level meter, it is just a different filter which can be switched in instead of the awaiting or the C wave. We have an amplifier, which in modern instruments is not really needed here, and the RMS detector, that is where this kind of computation is done. The RMS detector can operate with different time for integration here. And typically the instrument is equipped with three operational modes, called fast, slow, and infinite, or equivalent level. Fast means an integration time of 125 milliseconds. Slow is 1 second, and infinite is infinite, of course, is running, okay? So you can choose the operation time constant of the RMS detector. There is an old circuit which most modern instrument is a memory. So here it stores the value with a certain storing rate, for example, every second. Every second you store the sound level in a memory, and then you can transfer it on the computer. When you transfer it on the computer, what you get is this chart, which is the instantaneous sound level. Is never instantaneous, is averaged over some averaging time, which can be 125 milliseconds, or it can be 1 second, or it can be longer. In any case, it is never instantaneous. However, there is this time history of sound level over, for example, 1 hour or even 1 day. You can have a measurement lasting for 1 day. And the chart you see contains the sound level at every time of the day. Okay? This is the noise profile, is called, or sound profile. Not always it is noise, it could be music. Is a sound profile over time. What is the infinite integration? The infinite integration is the integral over the whole day. So the integration time in this case start from zero when you start the measurement, and then at the end of the day when you stop and go on. The equivalent level is the integration of the squared pressure for the whole period of measurement. And it's called equivalent level because it is a value which has the same energy as if this sound pressure level was constant for the whole day. That is the physical meaning of the equivalent level. is an energetic equivalent. It has the same energy. The same energy of this variable sound is provided by a constant sound with such a value, which is of course just the definition of the equivalent of the sound pressure level in decibel when the RMS integration lasts for the whole measurement period. Okay. The equivalent level is usually, no, not usually, is always awaited. A linear equivalent level is never found, is never required. Measurement standard always asks you to measure the awaited equivalent level. This is the current law in Italy, both for protection of workers at the workplace, protection of people in their house from disturbing from the neighborhood, protection outside in the environment for the so-called environmental noise. All the current limits in Italy are expressed with this parameter, equivalent level awaited. The measurement duration in Italy is currently divided in two periods, day and night. So this period T, the whole measurement time T, usually in Italy can be either day, and the day by law is between 6 in the morning to 22 in the evening. So day is 6 to 22, 16 hours. This is the day in Italy. The night is, of course, since 22 until 6 in the morning of the following day. So, typically in Italy, a measurement lasts 24 hours and give you two numbers, which are the day sound pressure level awaited, equivalent level, and the night sound pressure level awaited, equivalent level. Two numbers. And there are two limits. We will see the limits after in this course, but in any place, for example here in the campus here, the limit currently is 65 decibel by day and 55 decibel by night. There is a 10 dB difference. During night, the law requires the sound level to be smaller than during the day. During the day, it is allowed that there is more noise because there is more traffic, there is the factories in activity, and so on. During night, the people should sleep, so the law requires the level is smaller. The sound level meter usually can measure also the fast and slow time constant. You must understand that this thing comes from the past. The slow and fast measurements were invented in a time where the instruments were not digital, were analog. All was done by circuits, by circuit networks, not by computers, memory, digital computation. Making this computation is very easy for a computer, is very hard electronically, because it should mean to keep in memory what happened several hours ago in the past. No analog electronic circuit has such a memory capability. So what's done, instead of having a linear averaging in which the whole duration is given the same weight, because on the final value here, what happened at the beginning is exactly the same way to what happened at the end. If an aircraft did pass here, well, a lot of noise here because an aircraft was passing. or if the aircraft did pass here at the end of the measurement, the effect will be exactly the same, because all the instants along this integral are given the same way. The equivalent level is, by the definition, linear weighting over time. Instead, when the instrument is set to operate with slow or fast time constant, the integration is not really linear, it's exponential. In practice, when I set in view that a slow integration was an integration over 1 second, this is wrong, it's not true. It is equivalent to integrating over a second, but the integration in reality is always since time minus infinity, because in theory you have an infinite memory of the past, but with a weighting. The thing shown here is the weight, and the weight is going down in the past. What is just happening? This is the current time. What is just happened as maximum wave? What's happening 1 second before as much as smaller weighting? What happens 2 seconds before as even smaller wave? And going back and back in the past, you give to the signal smaller and smaller wave, but never zero in theory. So this is the concept of exponential weighting. Mathematically, this is expressed adding this exponential factor inside the formula for the RMS pressure. Why this was done? Because this behavior is obtained very easily with a very stupid electric circuit, which is an RC electric circuit. RC stands for resistor capacitor. So the circuit is actually something like that. You have a capacitor going to ground, and you have a resistor charging the capacitor. Such a circuit is an analog circuit provided in output a signal which behaves this way, which has memory of the past but is forgetting the past progressively. The output of this circuit is the current or instantaneous RMS pressure with a given time constant. If here TC is 1000 milliseconds, then this is the slow circuit. If you employ different value for the resistor and for the capacitor, their product give you a smaller product, which is 125 milliseconds. Making the product of a resistor and of a capacitor, the resistance in ohm and the capacity in farad, give you actually a time, and this time is the time constant. So the time constant is the product of the resistivity and the capacity of your RC circuit, and it can be either 1000 milliseconds slow or 125 milliseconds fast. There is a switch on the sound level meter or a plug on the software on the computer where you select if you want the fast response or the slow response. We are now going to show it to you on this software. There is also a third time constant, which is very, very strange, which is the impulse time constant. The impulse time constant is asymmetric. It is very fast, going up when the level is increasing, and very slow, falling down, when the sound level is decreasing. This impulse time constant, again, is a residual of the past, when sound level meter have a needle, not a digital display. With a needle, the impulse time constant was required for reading the maximum value happening when an impulse sound was entering the sound level meter. When when a sun like that was arriving, the needle will make a jump and go back very quickly. How can you read the maximum value reached with the impulse? With this kind of time constant, the needle will jump up and stay there. So you can read the value of the maximum deflection of the needle. So it is something of the past. But it is still required by some measurement standard. And so some sound level meter nowadays still have the impulse response, the impulse time constant. Remember that this impulse time constant is more or less meaningless in modern acoustics, but is a residual of the past. Okay, so you must know that it exists. In some case, you can be asked to measure the maximum level with the impulse time constant, so you switch in this circuit and you see a different value on the display. Now, this is the software we are going to use for emulating a sound level meter on the computer. In many cases today, we don't use anymore the bottle-shaped sound level meter. Or we use it because people want to see the sound level meter when they pay you for making the measurement. They expect that you go there with a sound level meter, but you are not really using that. You are just using it as a recorder. Modern sound level meter contain an SD card, so they are actually used as recorders. You record everything, and then you use a software like this one for analyzing your record. So now we first calibrate the system, injecting the calibration system over the microphone, and then we perform the analysis, for example, of the recording of my voice. I now show you the system running, so you understand. Those things are better explained doing the thing. Explaining the theory of the thing doesn't work. You do the thing and it is much easier to understand. Let me see if I have some recording. Calibration. No calibration here. I have the voice recording, but I don't have the calibration. Why not? Search in another place of the hard disk. Ok, calibration 94 decibels. So this is a recording, physically it is a WAV file. On your computer you have two settings which are very important to set properly for following this course. The first thing is always show the extension of the file. There is a settings which hide the extension. This is terrible. You should get rid of that setting and make sure that on your computer you see the extension of the file. I show you where it is. Folder option, view, hide extension for GNOME file type. It is this setting. I have no idea of how this is translated in other languages, like in Italian. As you see, I always use Windows in English, Mac OS X in English, everything in English. So this must be not set. If you set this, what happens is that the file loses the extension. So you don't see anymore that this is a WAV file. You must keep hide extension, deselected. So you see that this is a WAV file, this is an XLS file, and so on. Okay? This is very important. The second very important thing, if not, not in yours, is the international parameters, the dot, the decimal separator. Setting, control panel, the regional regionalization. Okay, you see that the format is English. I prefer English United Kingdom because I did study in England when I was young, because I'm used to the English way of working, of the English England, not English America, because you can also choose English United States. But for me, I prefer English United Kingdom. In practice, all the English are good. You can choose any of them. I suggest United Kingdom. But definitely not Italian. Even if you have Italian Windows, please set this in English mode, which means that the decimal point, the separator for the decimal unit, is the dot and not the comma. Having the comma as decimal separator makes most acoustical software not to work correctly. The software we are going to use now requires that the decimal point is used, not the comma. So please set everything in English and get accustomed to it, and always keep your computer with English setting. If not, professional software does not work. Professional software, I mean AutoCAD, I mean MATLAB, I mean software for spectral analysis, I mean Adobe Audition, the one we are going to use now, all the professional software, not Word. Word worked perfectly, also with Italian settings. Already Excel has some troubles. Already for working with Excel, we will see a specific lesson on using Excel. There the decimal point is very important. So everything now is set properly. We now open Audition, this software here, and we did record the calibration signal, and for doing this recording we did insert the microphone over the calibrator. What you will hear now is actually the calibrator signal. It is 1 kHz, 94 decibels. Okay? This is our reference. So the first thing we need to do is to calibrate our system, our software in this case, because our system now is a program running on the computer, it's not a physical sound levelmeter. How we calibrate this? Our software is called the I2P56 Time History Analysis. This is the module which we are going to use. Please remember, if this evening you go home and you install Adobe Audition, well, this is a quite old version of Adobe Audition. The version you can currently download from the internet is Adobe Audition 3. It's the best one currently. Now here I have this old one. Perhaps I have also the new one. Let me see. Open with... I'm not sure if I have also program fine. If I have the new one, which is the one which probably most of you will install on their computer. Adobe, no. Sorry, it's not installed here. Perhaps before the next time I will install it, so you can see also in Adobe. It's quite similar. So, when you install the first time, all those additional modules are not there. Those additional modules were written by me or by my students doing their thesis. If you go back to the home page of the course, okay. We go back to our web page of the course. At the end, there is a part containing the link to the software which we are going to use during the course. And Adobe Audition is the first one, of course. Is, as you see, Adobe Audition 3 is actually downloadable for free from the Adobe website, but you need registering. So it is free for registered users. But you just register and then download, not a problem, okay? But it does not contain these modules. Those are called Aurora modules. and you download them from this website. Currently, it's better this way. Doki, because the .com version has some troubles. I don't know why. Let me fix the link. Okay. So you download these plugins, copy them in the directory where Audition was installed, and then you will get these additional modules which I am going to use now. And one of these is the time history analysis. So this is software which was written here in Pharma. It's not inside the normal distribution of Adobe Audition. It's a plugin which can be added to Adobe Audition. You can also see here Effect, Aurora, Time History Analysis. Okay? When we invoke this software, in the first window, you can force calibration. Now it is already calibrated, but we reforce the calibration again. For forcing the calibration, we force the program to measure an LQ of 94 decibels, which is the typical calibration level. The recording is analyzed, and after the analysis, the software is forced to get an average level of 94 decibels. Of course, the level was constant in time. This is a time history, so it's flat, because the calibrator keeps the level constant at 94 decibels. Okay, now the level is calibrated, the software is calibrated. The next time you use it, you don't specify anymore this value. You keep the full scale value, which is the magic number which makes the software to be calibrated. In practice, this corresponds to the maximum amplitude of the waveform. The limit, the digital clipping limit, is 102.7 decibel. The software did compute this by forcing the RMS value to be 94. In fact, as you see, it keeps the correct calibration. Now I can make the analysis of a new recording, and we make a new recording. We record my voice with a sampling rate of 48 kHz, mono, because this computer is equipped with just one microphone, so we cannot record in stereo. 32-bit float, we will see what this does mean in a few number of lessons, but for now, the larger is the better, so just keep the maximum. Okay. And now, pressing the red button, we start recording. Pa-pa-pa, this is my voice. Pappero, pappero. Oh, boom. Now it clipped. You see the clipping limit. The red flag telling you the sound was too loud and it clipped. This is not good. Actually. Okay, this is a voice recording. We can listen to it. Pappappa, this is my voice. Pappero, pappero. Oh, boom. Now. Okay, now we save it, and again, we save it in a WAV file, not in an MP3 file. Why not? Because MP3 compression is lossy. It takes away from the sound what we cannot hear. But in many cases, we want to know also the information we cannot hear. Because, for example, we are analyzing the noise of a machine. And there is information in those peaks, in those frequencies which we cannot hear. So the instrument has recorded information which we cannot hear, but it can be useful for understanding the problem on the machine. So we always want to save our recording in WAV file. Okay? Call it my voice. Now we analyze this recording. We use again the time history analysis. We don't change anything here. If we change, we disrupt our calibration. So here we must be careful. not to change anything because the system has just been calibrated. If I change, I lose the calibration. Here you can see the weighting filter which I am employing. This software provides you with the choice of four possible weighting filters. The one being selected now, of course, is the A weighting filter, the one which we must use in Italy. We can deselect it. In this case, there is no weighting. So we get what are called linear decibel or unweighted decibel, which is a physical measure, but it is of little value. Most of the acoustical measurements are made with A weighting. What we get is a profile of sound pressure level in decibel over time in second. Okay? This is the noise profile, or in this case the voice profile. My voice is not exactly noise, at least I hope. And the chart is drawn employing the past time constant. You can rechart it with the slow time constant, and you see how the chart is now more smooth in time, because it is integrated with a longer integration time, which is 1 second. You can also see the true peak value sample by sample. And in a sample-by-sample chart, the chart is very rough. The values are also much larger, because here there is no RMS averaging. The minimum time integration for RMS averaging available with this software is 1 millisecond. With 1 millisecond RMS, the profile is substantially the same, but the level are smaller. Why the levels are smaller? Because looking at the peak value gives you the crest of the waveform. Instead, looking at the RMS gives you at the average of the waveform. And the crest is obviously larger than the average. The difference between the peak and the RMS is called the crest factor. The crest factor is the difference from the max peak. In this case, max peak is 103.88 decibel, and the average. The average in this case is 82.9. So my voice actually has a very huge crest factor. It is more than 20 decibel crest factor. The peak value is much louder than the average value. For music, typically this value is smaller. If you analyze a typical musical recording, you find usually a crest factor around 10 to 12 decibel, not more. This is due to the fact that all music recording a compressed dynamic range. For making the music sound better, sound engineer, after the recording, apply some digital processing to the record, which squeezes this variation between high and low level, which flattens the profile. Most music recording have a noise profile which is remarkably flat. They are terrible. No dynamic, which means no blindness, no breath, no air in the music. But no way the sound engineer compress everything as close to the maximum as it can. Because louder is better. That is the common knowledge for sound engineering. Louder is better. Pass all the gain up as much as you can. All flattened here. I don't know if here I have some piece of music. Let me see if I find some piece of music stored somewhere in the computer. Perhaps in Windows there is some media. Yeah. All this should be.
these are King George Beach windows.
These are the window sun.
Sorry, I was searching for
some music sample actually.
Library perhaps. No. See if I have it somewhere else. Not here. Okay, perhaps here. It seems I cannot find anything.
No. Okay, in any case, if I had some music recording, it looks really flat as noise profile, but I don't find any good rock music example here for proving this to you. Perhaps I remember where there is some. In the AS 124. Elton John. This is not bad actually, it is some air. It's not the worst compressed thing you can imagine. There is much worse around. Let me see how the profile is. Okay, not bad. We need to look at the fast usually. The fast is the one more close to our hearing time integration and time masking response. As you see in this case, the signal has not the huge variation as my voice. The crest factor here, maximum is 100, the peak, average is 80, is still 20 decibel range. So this is not fully compressed, but most rock music it never reached 20 decibel crest factor, is around 10 or perhaps 12 in the best case, and this does not improve the quality, but this is what happens. So in practice our recording, let's call back to my voice, our recording has some significant quantities. One of course is the average level. A weighted average level is a very important quantity, particularly for noise regulation. The maximum noise allowed is usually expressed in terms of average a weighted sound pressure level. But there are some other interesting quantities. One is max peak level, and that is already something explained to you. But there are also the max fast and the max slow. Particularly interesting is the max impulse. Remember of that crafty thing of the impulse time constant. Very quick to go up, very slow to go down. When you select the impulse time constant, the level shown are larger than, for example, employing the fast time constant. The Italian law mandates that you measure both the max impulse and the max slope. If the difference between max impulse and max slope exceed 5 decibel, the sound is considered to be impulsive. But there is a second rule. Also the there is first to consider the difference between max impulse and max slope. But then you need to look at the fast time history. And for the sound being impulse, the length of the impulse with time constant must be shorter than 1 second. So with that recording, with my voice, there was no event having both verification pass, the difference between max impulse and max slow, and the duration of the fast profile. Now we make another recording and we try to make it impulsive. Pa-pa-pa. Now for making an impulsive sound, I just hammer here over the table. Or make this one. Okay, you see how short was that pulse. This should become impulsive. You see how peaky are those. And with the impulse, they go up and never go down. With the true RMS, you see the real profile of this peak. Now the event has passed the verification because the duration is less than 1 second and the difference between max impulse and max slow is more than 5 decibels. So this is a recording containing impulsive event. The Italian law tells that when this is true and when this impulse is event is yes, the average level which you have measured must be increased by 3 decibels. So I measured 76, but I write in my measurement report that the correct average sound level was not 76, it was 79. I give a penalization of 3 decibels due to the impulsive nature of the sound. This is the reason for which we are still forced to measure also with the impulse quantity, the impulse time constant, because the Italian law, which was written years ago, employed this concept of the difference between max impulse and max slow for checking if the sound is impulsive or not. And if it is impulsive, you need to add 3 decibels to the average, to the equivalent level. Okay? Any question? Okay. Time to stop the recording. Arrivederci.